Good evening. Wow. I'm sure most of you have been watching the World Cup football, because I definitely have, probably too much. And it's amazing to see what sport can do, how it can unite people. People who are strangers at the beginning of a match are hugging each other afterwards, crying together in despair, or screaming from the top of their lungs together. And just basically dancing, having a good time. What's really bizarre to me, though, is a lot of those people go to church, and those people would never, never lift up their arms or scream to their Lord and Savior. And I actually think that's quite bizarre. I mean, why would people celebrate and passionately support their football team, but they won't honor and worship their Creator? I don't know, that's just a bizarre thing that I've been thinking about since I started watching the World Cup and all these filled venues. But that's not really, it's a little bit off the topic. As Deval mentioned, my name is Yanni. For those of you who don't know, I am an English, well, Greek Yanni. I don't speak any Afrikaans, and that's why I'm at your English service. And it's a great privilege to be here tonight. It really is. I was actually awestruck driving into Malmesbury, how beautiful it is. I mean, the sun was coming down, there were just these green rolling hills, and there were like white fluffy sheep on the hills. It was just such a picture of paradise. So you guys, if you don't know it, you live in a really blessed part of the world. Yeah. As Deval also said, I've just become the pastor. Officially, it was at the end of, beginning of April, of Franchuk Shofar. And it's been quite an amazing ride. Obviously, I haven't been a pastor before, so it's incredible to sit in that office and just watch the hand of God work. I mean, I know he works all the time, but actually sitting from pastorship, you can actually see a lot more because you know what's happening in so many more people's lives. And for one thing, I mean, we've got a campsite on our property. It's called Eagle's Nest, and it's kind of underutilized at the moment. And my heart is to get it going, to make it, with the help of other people, to make it the best adventure ministry camp in South Africa. So I don't have any expertise. I don't know what I'm doing with regards to camping. I just see a campsite, and I see trees, and I know there should be like ropes and paintball and stuff like that. And I take it to the Lord, and I'm just like, Lord, you know, I've my hands are full here. I can't, I'm trying to pastor a new church, well, a new pastor at a church. I have to hand this over to you. Supernaturally, he sends these two people into my office. Never spoken to them. I don't know them. They happen to run a campsite on Carmel, which is the other side of the mountain. And one thing leads to the next. We're hiring them on the 1st of August. Now, it may not sound that amazing to you, but it was pretty amazing to me, especially how things fell into place. We currently have an administrator who administers the campsites. I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do with Renee? Because she's not going to have a job. And I want this camp couple to actually live on site, because they must be the camp manager on site. And we've got a family that lives in the house that I want them to live in. So I'm like, Lord, you know, what are we going to do? Anyway, I call in Philip, who lives in the little house. And I've typed out this letter, this official letter of his notice to vacate the premises. But obviously, I want to tell him in person. So I've got it in my hand, and he walks into my office and he goes, Yanni, you're not going to believe this. The Lord's found us a house. So I'm like, okay. Well, I'm going to give this to you anyway, but praise God. And he had a house, so that was amazing. Next thing is, I have the final interview with Bram and Sarito taking over the camp on a Friday. And that day, Renee walks into my office and she says, Yanni, you know what happened? Something really strange. My old employer phoned me up this morning and asked me to come in for an interview. So what I'm saying is that it's amazing. And those are just two short, a couple of little stories that happened. But it happens all the time. If you sit in my office, if you are unsaved, you would think that it is an office of coincidences. It really, the hand of God is just so amazing. But it's not all fun and games as a pastor. It's not all fun and games. It comes with its challenges and its disappointments too. One little guy, he's in our youth, he's probably the most disadvantaged youth in our Francia congregation. He's moved from foster home to foster home. He's been physically abused a lot. The social state was paying for his studies until recently, and he finished his technical school or whatever he was. Well, they stopped paying, so he didn't have anywhere to go. So Philip, the same guy who was living in the house, he has a jewelry design shop in Franschhoek. He's just started a little business. And he decided to take this young guy under his wing and just teach him a skill because he didn't have anywhere else to go, basically. Anyway, Friday night, I get a phone call, and it's from Philip, and he says to me, I've just been called by some of the people in Groendel, which is one of the communities just outside Franschhoek. And he says to me, let's call him Henry. Henry, the little boy. Henry is selling your jewelry in Groendel. He'd only been working for Philip for 1 week. So he says, what should I do? So I said, look, Philip, it's not my decision. It's your business. You must decide what to do. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, if you want to take it to the police, you can. If you don't, it's up to you. Anyway, he decided not to take it to the police, but he decided to let Henry go. So Henry was without a job now, without school, without a job. So Monday morning, I call Henry in, and I say, so tell me, what were you doing on Friday night? So he's like, nothing. So I said, are you sure? So he says, no, I went and played in the street with my friends and played football and stuff like that. So I said, okay, well, let me make this a little bit easier for you. Why aren't you at work today? So he goes, no, you got to understand, this guy's come from a background of abuse. So all he knows how to do when he's in trouble is to lie. So he says to me, I had to take my brother to school and I got to work late and Philip sent me home. So I said to him, you're lying to me. Anyway, eventually you get to the bottom of the story and I say to him, you've been stealing jewelry. So he says to me, he kind of sort of half denies it, but previous to that, 2 weeks before that, I knew it was his birthday, and I went to him and I said to him, Henry, I've got a surprise for you, but I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to tell you a little bit later. So the day he was in my office, I pulled out a World Cup ticket, which was a match for Portugal. Yes, the one that they scored 7 goals. Portugal versus Korea, I think it was. And I said to Henry, this was a ticket that I was going to give you. Now, I want to tell you that this stealing of the jewelry, God doesn't love you any less. He still loves you, you know. Whether you are obedient or disobedient, God still loves you. But unfortunately, you're going to have to live the consequences of your choices. And the first consequence is you've lost your job. So the second one right here is I was going to give you this ticket. And I said, you know what? I'm still going to give you this ticket. I believe in you. I believe that there's a really good guy in you, Henry. And Henry just started to cry. He just burst into tears and started to cry. He was obviously expecting to get him beaten and maybe shouted at. And what happened that day? It was a shift in the spirit. You see, we have been talking about, many pastors over the last few months, we've been trying to understand the Lord's grace. Now, something shifted in the spirit, but not for Henry, for me. For me. I was the one giving grace. And you know what? It felt awesome. It felt absolutely awesome to say to Henry, I'm giving you this, even though you don't deserve it. Now, God does that to us all the time. And it actually made me start to think how I was giving out grace as I was receiving it from God. Now, you may ask, what did I need to understand grace for? Well, hold on to your seats, because it's confession time. I am a pastor, and I'm struggling to read the Word of God. I'm struggling to read the God. Yes, the shock and the horror. Pastors also struggle to read the Word of God. Now, because I'm understanding grace, I don't feel condemned. I know He still loves me. I know He still hears my prayers. He still blesses me. He's still blessing our church. I mean, if you come to our church, you will see it as being blessed. So it's not because of me. It's because of who He is. It's because of who He is. And, you know, just laid on my heart is just because we are disobedient children doesn't mean we are not children of God. So, the question is, what does a pastor do when he struggles to read the Word of God? What does a pastor do? Now, actually, he does the same as everyone else. He does the same as everyone else. I go to my accountability buddies. That's what I do. And so I've got a question for you this evening. Who is your accountability buddy? Who is your prayer partner? Now, at that time, it's just finished now. I was still part of the ministry training program, the thing that Yaku and Carmen are going on to. We used to meet once a week as once we got placed in our positions, we used to meet once a week. So that was my accountability, kind of like a small group. I'm sure a lot of you go to small groups. That was my place where I could be accountable to people. But I wasn't comfortable bringing it to the whole group. So what I did was that particular week, I went to two of the guys on the program and I said, "Brothers, pray with me." I told them, I said, "Look, I'm struggling to read the Word. I need help." So they're praying for me, and the one gave me this beautiful vision of which he believed was from the Lord, and I took it because it sounded awesome, and I wanted it to be true. He had a picture of, and people with children will actually probably understand this a little bit more. Father God standing with his arms out and sort of like me playing, like a little child would be playing in front of you. And he just said to me, "You know, God doesn't mind you playing, you know, having a good life." He says, "He just wants you to turn around every now and again and just acknowledge that he's there." So that kind of encouraged me. But it didn't fix me. That following week, I actually met with Duval and Rick, who's our regional pastor, Yaku. And we had Paul, who was online on Skype, because we have a regional pastors meeting once a month. This is another place where we can be accountable to people. So I brought it up again, but this time I was much more comfortable. And this time it actually more came out of the problem. So I'm saying to you today, if you've got a problem, you need to bring it into the light. Because if you don't bring it into the light, the devil's going to use it against you. He's going to use it. He's going to try and condemn you with it. And he's sly. He's very, very sly. Now, they prayed for me and they gave me some wonderful pastorly advice. And I must tell you what happened. The whole process brought me to this amazing vision. And it was actually a double vision. And I'm going to share it with you. Now, I was praying. I was still praying, but not really reading the Word of God. And I was in this massive, massive throne room. This massive throne room of God. And it was bright, shining, luminous, glory. I mean, I couldn't see the far walls because it was so enormous, and I couldn't look directly at God because it was just so bright and glorious. And I was hunched down on the floor like this. Those who can't see me, I'm kind of on my knees. And I was hunched down and blinded. My eyes were blinded, and the vision ended. I want you to hold that thought because I'm going to come back to it. I have a question. How powerful is the Word of God? I'd like to take you to a couple of scriptures. Psalm 33:6. Sorry, my title of my sermon today is called "My Word." Psalm 33:6. "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." Matthew 8:16. "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought back to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." Hebrews 11:3. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." There is nothing, nothing, nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Whatever he speaks comes into being. Whatever he speaks comes into being. His word does not return void. Now, I want to tell you the very first time I learned this. I was young. I was 12 years old. I wasn't saved. I didn't know who God was. I didn't know who Jesus was. I mean, deep down inside, I knew who God was. I definitely didn't know who Jesus was. My mother was driving in a car. She was driving. My sister, Nikki, was in the passenger seat in the front. My brother, who was 6 years old, was down at her feet. This was the time before, like, seat belts and stuff like that. This is 25 years ago. 3rd of August. 25 years ago. And I'm at the back with my other sister, Nina. And I've kind of fallen asleep. We're driving a long-distance trip from Zimbabwe to South Africa. Next thing, I kind of get woken up with the car swaying from side to side. The car starts to roll. And next thing, I'm floating upwards. Now, this may sound cliche. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. There was a bright light up above me, and my body was floating towards this bright light. I believe that I died that day. I believe I died that day. But as I was rising up this tunnel of light, it almost felt like what it would feel like to be at the bottom of a tunnel, dark all around you, but just the shaft of light upon you, and that shaft of light was like drawing me up. As I was floating up, I heard a unison of voices. It definitely wasn't one voice, but it was definitely more. Today I'd like to say it was the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I can't say that for sure, and it's definitely not in the Bible that it happens like that. But two words were said to me. Yanni, breathe. At that moment, I turned around, because I was facing upwards, going up. I turned around, and I could see the entire accident scene below me. I could see the car turned over. I could see my mother crying. I could see people stopping with cars. There were many cars that had stopped, many people around it, and I had a bird's eye view of exactly what was going on. Next thing, I see myself. And as I recognized myself, like a suction vacuum, back into my body. Back into my body. That day, I understood. I didn't actually understand it then, but later on, when I started to understand who God was, that is the power of God's word. Yanni, breathe. That day, my sister wasn't so lucky, though. She got killed. She broke her neck. But my story is to basically tell you the power of God's word. There are four types of word that I'd like to share with you this evening. The first one is the primary Greek word, which is logos, which refers to the totality of the written word of God. This very thing here, the Bible. This is the totality of the written word of God. The second type of word is a rhema word. Now, this is God's revelation word to you. What do I mean by that? This book is alive. This book is alive and it speaks to our hearts. It speaks to us. And I want to share another little story that happened to me when I first got saved. I was kind of disobedient. I didn't want to get baptized. Okay, I thought it was, in my head, being baptized was like the true characteristic of a reborn Christian, and I didn't want to be a reborn Christian. I'd really given my life to the Lord, and that took a process in itself, but the church I was fellowshipping in California, they were like, you should get baptized. My wife is saying, you should get baptized. And I'm like, well, I don't have to get baptized. Because at that stage, I'd started to read the Bible, and I was like, Jesus was on the cross with the two thieves, and the one thief was repented, and Jesus said, yeah, I'll see you in heaven. So I said, I don't need to be baptized. So anyway, after, let's call it nagging of my wife, I decided to take it to God. So I'm sitting in the lounge in California in this house that we were staying at, and I was a brand new Christian, so I kind of hold up the Bible like this in a very unreligious way because I didn't know anything about anything. And I said, Lord, you've got to tell me in no uncertain circumstances, no uncertain terms, whether I should get baptized in water or not. I said, I don't want any wishy-washy scriptures. I want you to tell me directly in your word. So I thought, don't do this at home. This is not what Christians should do, but this is what I did. I'm just being honest with you. I grabbed the Bible. I closed my eyes. I twisted it around. Put it upside down. Everything. Then I pulled open a page, and as I said, this is not what you're meant to do, but God saw my heart that day. God saw my heart that day. As I opened up the word, it was a big three, and it was John 3. And if you go to John 3, it's where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, how should you be reborn? How do you get born? And Jesus goes on to this explanation. Now, when I read it that day, it felt like God was talking to me. I started to cry. I started to weep. I actually thought God was talking to me. And He was talking to me. That's the beautiful thing. He was talking to me. And you know what the most beautiful thing is? I read that scripture today and I don't even get the same message that I got that day.
He knew exactly how my head was thinking on that day. Amazing that God of ours, our amazing loving Father. The third type of word is the word that we find in Ephesians 6, where they're explaining the full armor of God. It goes something like this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword of the Spirit, if you've read Ephesians, is basically, it's Paul is giving examples of Roman soldiers' armory to explain different concepts of God. And he's saying, the sword is the word. And what you've got to understand, that these were battle swords. This was for hand-to-hand combat. This was, you have to be up close and personal to use a sword. You don't use a sword from the other side of the field. You use it when you're up close, and you need to have a sword on hand. God's word is that weapon. Out of all the armory, that is the weapon that we're given. The word counters spiritual deception and accusations. Now, the fourth type of word I want to speak about, the Bible tells of a different kind of word. And I want to just read from John 1:14. It says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Here John is talking about the word, Jesus, who was made flesh. Jesus Christ, the word. Now, Jesus, the Word himself, made in the flesh, also spoke about the Word. And in Matthew 4, verse 4, I just want to read it to you. This is what Jesus says. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Why did Jesus say this? Just as you need physical food for your body in order to grow and maintain health, physical health, so you need spiritual word. Spiritual food to maintain your spiritual growth, your spiritual life. You need spiritual food to grow and build yourself up. As a baby is born, its natural instinct in the physical is to seek its mother's milk. That's why in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, "As new babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow." Acts 20:32. "Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up." God's word is the Bible, and this word will serve as food for your soul and to build up your faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Why else did Jesus say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God"? Why else did he say that? He was actually quoting Old Testament scripture. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And I want to read 8:3 to you. It says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The experience of manna allowed Israel to realize that their basic source of life was God, out in the desert. But why was Jesus quoting Old Testament scripture? I actually want to pull together the four types of word that I've just mentioned together to illustrate what Jesus was doing. Let me set the scene. Jesus had been led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That is when the devil decided to attack him. And that is when the devil is going to attack you. When you are tired, when you are hungry, when you are fed up, when you're feeling weak, those are the times he comes. Not when you've just come out of a massive praise and worship session. He's going to come at the time when you are physically tired. That's when he came for Jesus. Actually, I just want to read from Matthew. Hang on a second. Because the Bible says it much better than I could. Matthew 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after afterward he was hungry. Sure he was. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, the tempter being the devil, and listen to how sneaky he is, if, doesn't say you are, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, it wasn't Jesus' time to reveal his lordship. So he replied, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, let me try and illustrate this a little bit further. We've got logos, which is the totality of the written word of God. However, in the scripture here, the Greek word is actually rhema. That's the word. So rhema is the revelation knowledge of God. So when Jesus faces his temptation in the desert, what he does is he strolls into the entire armory of God, which was the Old Testament at that time. And he goes looking for his rhema, which is the white battle sword for that particular battle. Now, he enters into the weapon room labeled Deuteronomy. And he pulls three specific swords. And I say three because the devil tempts him three times. And each time he pulls one of those swords from the armory, from the weapon room called Deuteronomy, and he throws that stab. He stabs at the devil with those words. So he's countering with the word of God, using it as a weapon. So what I'm trying to say is the word made flesh used the word, the rhema word, from the logos word to be the sword word. Hallelujah. My question to you as a Christian soldier, because we all should be Christian soldiers here, is do you have a blunt, rusty penknife? Or do you have a sharp, fire-tempered, shiny battle sword? I've pulled together five helpful practical guidelines that may assist you, because they assisted me. Because remember, I'm struggling to read the word. First one, Christian soldiers should choose a Bible that is most suitable to your needs. What do I mean by this? Well, firstly, the Bible has been translated into 600 languages. So choose a language that you're most comfortable with. The other thing is, in English alone, there's 78 different versions. There's the NIV, there's the New King James, there's the Old King James, there's the English Standard Version, there's the New Living Translation. I mean, the list goes on and on and on to the most relaxed translation, which is the Message. Message I personally would say that the Message should be read with the Bible, so you can get both. Thank you. There are also some amazing study Bibles. I've got a study Bible here. And what study Bibles do is they give you a background of the times, of the characters, of what's going on. Because, I don't know about you, but for me, I need that help. I need the help of theologians and historians who have actually put a lot of time and effort into the background of the scriptures, because scriptures need to be read in context. So, as I say, choose a Bible that suits you, a version that suits you. And today, you have no excuse. I mean, you've got the old form paper Bible. You've got eSword on your computers. You've got DVD interactive Bibles. You've got DVD sound Bibles you can listen to on your car. There's DVD videos. There's even Bibles that you can have on your cell phone. Now, I know everybody in this room doesn't go anywhere without their cell phone. And you shouldn't go anywhere without your Bible. So get it on your cell phone, and you've always got the word with you. The second strategy that I can recommend is set daily time aside to read and study the word of God. Now, preferably it would be the morning, because God likes our first fruits, but it's not to say that it has to be the morning. An hour, if you have an hour for lunch, choose half an hour to read the word. If you think your day is too busy to read the word, pray to God. Ask him to make room in your day, and he will be faithful. I promise you that. He will give you the time. He will make the time for you to read his word. Third one. There's only five. Third one. Christian soldiers should always pray for understanding, guidance, and revelations when you read. Seek the message God has for you personally when you read the Bible. Look for promises to proclaim, commands to obey, examples to follow, and sins to avoid. Let God speak to you through His Word. Fourth one, have a structured reading plan. Now, if you're struggling to read the Word, a good suggestion is to start with the Gospels. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I said John first because it's the Gospel of love, and God is love. And once you've finished with those, move on to Acts. That's the easier reading, as they say. It's full of truth and light and good stuff. The entire New Testament can be read in 3 months by reading three chapters a day. Three chapters a day is not a lot. I mean, that's some days it'll take you 5 minutes, some days it'll take you 20 minutes. But the entire New Testament in 3 months, if you read three chapters a day. If you want to read the whole Bible in 1 year, read three chapters in the Old Testament and one chapter in the New Testament. You'll get through the entire Word of God in 1 year. Business people and parents have found Proverbs to be very useful, and it's structured so beautifully. There's 31 chapters, and roughly 30 days, some 31 days in a month, you can read one chapter a day. And believe me, you can read Proverbs over and over and over again. There's so much wisdom in there. Occasionally, though, you should try and set time aside just to read a whole way through a book, because you need to put, as I said, everything in context and make sure that you're getting the full picture. So occasionally, set some time aside for Bible reading like that. The fifth and most important, well, I don't know if it's the most important, but it's very important. Memorize Scripture. It's the most beneficial practice you can adopt as a Christian soldier. Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God, tells us this in the following, verses 9 to 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Now, the challenge is to write the word in your heart and so become a more effective Christian. How do you do that? How do you memorize those scriptures? Well, 3 years ago, I went to the Mighty Men's Conference, and Angus gave us a little piece of advice which I'm going to share with you today. If you want to memorize Scripture, this is how you do it. So I'd like you guys to repeat after me. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And one more time for good luck. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. It's about repetition. Some people are gifted with a photographic memory. I'm definitely not one of them. That is what Angus said, and it's a great practice to get into. Start small. Repeat it, put it on your fridge, put it on your phone, put it on your rear view mirror. Actually, maybe not, you might cause problems. Anyway, so there I was, crouched in the throne room of God, crouched over. This is now the second day. The vision ends. Okay? The second day, second part of the double vision. I'm crouched exactly as I was the day before. In the throne room of God, this massive, massive throne room, the glory of God's light just blinding me, the walls so far that I cannot even see them. I cannot stare up to the Almighty God on His throne. I know He's there, but I can't. I can feel He's there, but I can't see Him because of the light. I'm crouched on my knees. I manage to open up my eyes, and what do I see? A Bible. I see a Bible before me. I stare at the Bible, and it flips open to a page. I start to read. As I read, I come up to a kneeling position. I pick up the Bible. I continue to read. As I continue to read, I stand. I'm now in a standing position. And now I'm reading the Bible. And suddenly, the Lord said to me, this is in my vision, He said, "Eat the scroll." So I started to tear off pages of this Bible and shove them down my throat. And as I shoved them down my throat, I started to grow. I started to grow, and each page went in. As each page went in, I started to grow into this enormous monster of a spiritual being. Then I looked down at my arms, and I could see the words, and I could see the letters running through my veins, through my blood. And then it dawned upon me, I can be in the presence of God. God, whether I read the word or not, I can still be in the presence of God. God is still going to love me. God is still going to bless me. God is still going to listen to my prayers. But if you want to be growing in the spiritual, you need to consume the word of God. And I believe that double vision was given to me for the very specific reason to maybe share with you, or maybe even just one of you. I don't know. I don't know where it finds you tonight. But I just thank you. I thank you for your time this evening. I just want to, can I ask you to stand? As I shared with you today, I'm a pastor, and I struggle to read the Word of God. I don't know if I'm the only person in this room who's ever struggled or is struggling with that. If any of you are struggling, I just encourage you to raise your hand. Lord, I thank you that we have such bold people in this place. And I'm going to ask you to be even bolder today, because I'm going to ask you just to come and step up here before the Lord. Not before me, because I actually can't do anything. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you. I'm asking the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to all of us, Lord, who struggle to read your word. Lord, I believe this is the devil's scheme, Lord, to keep us away from relationship with you, to keep us from growing in the spiritual realm. So, Father, I just thank you for these bold Christian soldiers, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we can just come to you this evening. So I just ask you all just to bow your head and close your eyes as we just wait for the Holy Spirit to just come upon us. Just minister to each one of us individually. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that we are your children, Lord, and that you love us so much. Lord, I know that a word spoken in faith in the name of your Son, Jesus, has the power to overcome insurmountable obstacles. Lord, your word will accomplish all your desires and your purposes. Your word is heaven-backed power. When we speak the word of God, we are tapping into that limitless power, and I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can just declare your word over every area of our life, Lord. We can declare things like, "Devil, come out of us, because we have been overcome by the blood of the Lamb." We can say things like, "Cancer, come, leave this body, because by the wounds of Jesus, this child of God has been healed." Maybe some of you are struggling with finances. We can call them into line this very day. "Finances, come into line, because God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." Maybe you're struggling with drugs or alcohol. You can say, "I don't need you, drugs and alcohol, because the Son of God has set me free." I don't know what you're struggling with today. Maybe you're struggling with things besides spending time in the Word. But I can tell you that you are more than a conqueror through him who has loved you. So, Father God, we just thank you on this evening. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Lord, we just thank you that you love every single person here today. You love every single one of them. Your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness does not change. We are not to be condemned whether we do good things or whether we spend time in the Word or not, Father. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can bring our hearts before you on this day, Lord. We come open and raw to you, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not spending time in your word, because we know what it means to you. So Lord, on this day, I just ignite in Jesus' precious name. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you ignite a spark in the hearts and souls of every single person here, Lord. Every brave person that has stood up here today, Lord. Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. Nothing is impossible for you. So we just thank you, Lord, that on these coming days, Lord, they will take the practical advice that I guideline, Lord. And Lord, it is not by power nor by might, but by the Holy Spirit that this shall happen, Lord. This is so natural, Lord. We watch how you grow your trees and your flowers out in the field, Lord. They don't strive or struggle to grow, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you that our spirits are growing, that we are feeding ourselves with the word, the milk that we desire, the food that we desire, the meat that we desire, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you unleash in every single person as they start their quiet time tomorrow or in the coming week or in the coming month, whenever you lay it on their heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give them a rhema word. Give them an intimate understanding of who you are. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Speak to their spirits, Lord. Encourage them. Love them. Wash them over, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, it is by your power this very evening, Lord, that there's a shift. There's a shift in the spirit, Lord. We just want to release these mighty, brave Christian soldiers into your hand, Lord, because you are good and you are loving. And we just want to tell you that we love you on this day. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that this is nothing we have to strive for. We come today, Lord, and we say it, Lord, we are struggling to spend time in your word. We are struggling to understand your word. We place it at your altar, Lord. We place it at your altar right now, and we back away. We give it over to you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. I'm not sure if anyone wants actual personal prayer. This is actually the second time I've preached a similar message, and I had the same response. And I'm actually I'm not surprised, but I am surprised. And I just feel that the Lord gave me that vision to share, and that's why I've actually repeated that vision with people. And normally, when people come up for altar calls, there are people who do pray for them. But when everybody comes up, we've just got the Holy Spirit to minister to us. But if anyone does have anything specific they would like to share or pray about, please, you're welcome. I think there's tea and coffee outside. Is there? Tea and coffee outside, so it'd be great to fellowship with you. Thank you. Sorry, I think we're all struggling to read the Word. I think we should break communion and give a signal to the spiritual realm that it stops here. You know, if we share with each other and testify and witness with one another in little groups and just bring this struggling with the word before the Lord and break bread over it. That's a huge, significant spiritual message to the enemy. And I believe that if we do that, we're going to have breakthrough. Amen.